Chasing Rabbi Goodman, finally Baruch Hashem, he's agreed kindly to speak for us today, and we're glad to hear him speak. And I'm sorry, I apologize again for our delay. So, Rabbi Goodman.
Thank you so much. It is such an honour to be here, really. I feel extremely privileged to have been asked to speak for you. Now, I know I've got to keep it to time, right? What we got? We got 20, 25 minutes, right? So, okay, I've got to... Oh, come on, I'll aim for... sure. 20 minutes, 15, bring it down, bring it. Eight minutes. Let's get this on. I know, please eat, feel free to eat and enjoy. I'm completely fine with it. Please eat, get more, get seconds. I know the trolley was late today. So I want to discuss with you a very important idea, which I think you can take a lot from in our Motzi Shavuos state that we're in right now. So first of all, I'd like to thank Rav Shah Klein and Binyamin Donor for organizing everything. Thank you very, very much. It's really a tremendous thing. And I'm going to just dive in. Basically, what I've got is four questions. Four questions. These are my four questions. Hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, we'll answer the four questions and then tie it up and take a take-home message. Does that make sense? Are we good for those four questions? Yeah. Four. How many questions? Thank you. Here's question number one. Okay, you know, there's a Gemara Megillah, and it talks about, it's a Megillah Choftes. Gemara Megillah says, which Haftaris we lane when? Which Haftaris we lane when? And usually, when you pick a Haftira, it's a Haftarah that's going to be picked. It's going to have some Inyan, some idea to do with that particular Shabbos. So something from that Parsha, there'll be a theme, there'll be a thematic kind of idea which you'll see in the Haftarah which links somehow to the Parsha. Yeah? What has the first day Haftarah of Shavuos got to do with Shavuos? We learn about an angel with four heads. That's question number one. Have you got question number one? Question number is, what is the Haftarah of Shavuos? I could have said that any Shabbos, any Yom Tov, if I could have named the Haftarah. It's an angel, it's got four heads, it's amazing, it's really scary, it's a bit weird looking. I could have said, anyway, what's it going to do with Shavuos? Tell me something about an inauguration of the Beis Hamikdash, getting something, I don't know, writing something where I'm a couple, something, I saw an angel with four heads. Valdic, okay, well, that's question number one. Is everyone comfortable with that? That's question number one. I need feedback here. Come on, are we with me? Yeah? Thank you. Question number two. Okay. The claf of the Sefer Torah, the parchment that the Sefer Torah is written on, is done in segments, and it's stitched together. The question is why does it have to be stitched together with sinew? There's a question of Gemara. What about linen? That's question number two. Why does the Sefer Torah have to be stuck together with sinew? Stitched together with sinew. Question number two. Question number three. Obviously, we're going to go on a long time tonight. It's going to be more than 25 minutes. I'm ready for Nate's. Oh my gosh, how long is it going to be? I thought it was 20 minutes. This is a tefillah shel rosh. And I can pass this round. It's very difficult to see because what I'm showing you is like a dark colour. But if you see, there's hairs popping up at the tatura against the bais of the tefillah. See that little sprig of hair there? The question is, why does there have to be a sprig of hairs popping up out of a tefillah shel rosh? That's question number
three.
Thank you. Yes, that's good. It makes me feel good that at least someone said three. Someone said three. Okay, and question number four is, when someone's been naughty and Beis Din send him off to get flogged, whipped, lashed, the lash has to be made. It's a Gemara Makkos, which I'll get to. The lash has to be, it's a Mishnah, Marcus, actually, it's a Mishnah. The lash has to be made out of a sandwich of leathers. So we have a sandwich on the outside, there's calf leather, and on the inside, there's donkey leather. And you lash him with a sandwich of calf and donkey leather. The question is, when I mean a sandwich, I mean like bread on the outside with a calf leather and a yummy filling on the inside with a donkey leather. Obviously, it's not as pleasant as having a sandwich. I'll definitely give you that. It's not a sandwich. It's a sandwich.
It's only one and the other.
It's like this. So, okay, if you want the actual structure, let's go with the structure. Okay, structure's like this. If I've got a handle here, I bend a piece. I cut this in half. I've got two strips now of calf leather. So calf leather and calf leather, calf leather and calf leather. There's a split down the middle. Then inside, I put in donkey leather. And split that as well, so it's a flail of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So it comes up with 8 bits, and the inside two bits are donkey, and the outside two bits of each half segment are calf. Does that structure make sense? That's actually what it looked like. It's more of a
fajita.
It's more of a fajita.
Like a rat.
It's more, okay. Okay, I stand corrected. It's maybe the taco concept of punishment. Okay, I'm working really hard at this. What question number was that? That was question number four. Thank you. Okay. Whew. And then my last type is, what do all these things have to do with each other, specifically with the sin of the golden calf? All of these things are coming up to do with the golden calf. And, of course, I've got a time with Shavuos. And you've got to take something home from this. Yeah? It's a bit of a tall order. Sure, you don't want more chant? Chant is out the back. You may need it. Strapped in? Ready to go? Yeah? Are we together? Yeah? Oh, you with me? Fantastic. All right. So first things first. Let's talk about the Haftarah. What's going on with Haftarah Shavuos? What on earth is going on? Oh, so much to discuss. Okay. Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif comes along. I've got all the Maamar Koros. If anyone's interested, I don't want to have to go through. I've got them all here. I can discuss with you off. Just come up to me and go, where did Tosfos Yontif say that? Got them all here. Tosfos Yontif comes up and says like this. Antiochus, boo, wicked king Antiochus, he forbade the reading of the Torah in public. So Chazal at the time made an enactment. This was before the Gemara was written, by the way. Chazal made an enactment to say, we're going to have to read something from the Navi that links in somehow with the Parsha, or with the, you know, the Yomi, whatever it is, Yontif, whatever's going on, so that people don't lose the teaching of the Torah, even though we can't openly discuss Torah because of the enactment. Now, after the Gezerah was lifted, nonetheless, we keep the Haftarah as a Minhag Yisrael. It's a good thing for us to know that there was a Gezerah, Baruch Hashem, now there isn't, and just like we've come through that, we're going to come through others as well. It'll be okay. So why do you think they chose the Haftarah of Yechezkel's tremendous visage of a very, very lofty, as high as this angel which acts as the chariot of Hashem's presence, the Merkava, where Hashem rests, as it were? As for the semblance of their faces, the face of a man and the face of a lion to the right of the four, the face of an ox to the left of the four, and the face of an eagle, it's Mechloka Sichas Chulin, actually says it was a vulture. A nesher is a vulture, it can't be an eagle, because an eagle doesn't have all the signs of kashrus, etc. Some signs of kashrus, while a vulture definitely doesn't, so he says it could be a vulture, and a vulture to the left. So there was this four-headed angel, which had a man, an ox, a lion, and a eagle stroke vulture. Yeah? What's this got to do with Shavuos? I hear you cry. Thank you very, very much. What's it got to do with Shavuos? So it's like this. There's a base slavery of Yosef Dov Beis Soloveitchik says on Parsha Kisiso, an amazing idea. Amazing idea. It's like a change your life idea. It's like this. The Jews were in a state, by the way, Kriyas Yamsuf, I must tell you another medrash first before I go to the base slavery. Kriyas Yamsuf, even a shifcha, even a handmaiden, looked up and saw this same angel, the Yechezkel saw, in a heightened state of prophecy. So any kids walking about, they look up, wow, what's that? Wow, it's a really weird looking angel. They're walking through Yom Tov, that's what they say. Everyone would see that. Everyone saw that. Everyone knew about this. Beis Levi says, but the Shifcha ended up being a Shifcha at the end. She didn't become like a, she didn't have prophecy, like she didn't end up with the Kedusha for prophet. She was just a handmaiden at the end of it. But she saw it. Everyone saw this angel. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was late. He was late. So what did the Erev Rav do? Then enough of this. We'll make ourselves another god. Hey, we don't need Moshe Rabbeinu as an interface. We'll make our own interface. So they sat around and they had a meeting. And the meeting was, what interface should we have between us and God? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't work out. He died. Indeed, the Medrash says that the Yetzer Hara showed them a picture, as it were, of the coffin of Moshe Rabbeinu ascending to heaven. He's dead. It's all over. Technically, his body was physically dead. He had not been eating and drinking for 40 days, let alone the chant for 4 minutes. 40 days, 40 nights, it's a while. So they decided, we're going to make a new one. So they remembered this angel with the four heads. Remember the angel with the four heads? They said, which of these angels' heads should we now carve into a new intermissary between us and Hashem? They said, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's represented by the man, that didn't work out. So we'll dump that idea. Let's go with a lion. Let's make a lion. God rests upon these lions. Why do we have these animals? The lion is the head of all wild animals. The ox is the head of all domesticated animals. And the eagle stroke vulture is the head of all birds. So these are like very ark creations that Hashem rests on quite heavily. So we'll make ourselves a lion. And someone piped up and said, lions are dangerous. They're ferocious and they go roar a lot. And they're a bit scary. So I don't like the idea of a lion. Oh, so we'll make an eagle. We'll make an eagle. But the problem with eagles are they could fly off and they won't come back. An ox. We'll make an ox because an ox is domesticated. An ox is the kind of creature that you can tell it what to do and it will do what you want it to do. So let's make an ox because it'll be under our control and therefore our relationship with Hashem, like this phone that we'll use to get through to Hashem, will be under our control. We'll be able to pick it up and put it down. That is the worst sin we ever did, says the Beis Halevi. What exactly is this sin? The sin's like this. Hashem shows you the glorious things that he's got going on in Shemayim. And he reveals it to you, and he shares it with you, and he brings you closer, and he gives you his secrets. And what do they go and do with it? They misuse it. And so, you know what, Hashem, if we want to have a discussion with you, we'll pick up the phone. We'll make an ox. Now, really, they planned to make an ox, but because it was such a juvenile avera, the production of it was also a calf. They had no intention of making a calf. They put a lot of gold in. They wanted a nice, big, fat ox. But they got a calf. We learn out a very important thing about that, by the way. Whenever the Yetzer Hara tempts you with something, if you actually buy into it, the outcome is never as good as he hypes it up with. You're hoping for an ox. It's a money and I'm going to get a big cow. What are you going to get out is only a very small outcome of that. Whenever you actually pay the Otahara's fee, as it were, and get whatever he gives you is never quite as good as he built it up before you went there. Yeah? With me on that? So that is what they did. They arrogantly misused their knowledge to be able to start bending Hashem to their whim. And it doesn't work like that. Judaism is Hashem tells you what he wants you to do and you do it. Not you tell Hashem what you want him to do and he does it. And that was the sin of the golden calf. Does that make sense? Now what does that have to do with Shavuos? What does that have to do with Shavuos? Let's put that on hold. Second thing. The Torah scroll. Don't have one handy at the moment, so we'll just have to pretend. Imagine you called up for a hugba. What is the procedure for a hugba? What do you have to do? Did you all hear that? So if you called up and the seam isn't there, you should roll it so the seam is somewhere in the middle of where you're going to pick it up. And then you pick it up. Yeah? And where it should be, I should have the seam in there. Why? Because Chos v'Shalom, if it's being pulled taut, it could rip. And if it rips, the likelihood is let it rip across the seam as opposed to across the actual parchment. If it rips across the parchment, what's the problem? If it rips across the actual parchment, what things could go wrong? Right, Chos v'Shalom, you could tear Hashem's name, which is terrible. Give me another reason. Okay, you'll pass on a Sefer Torah. Okay, that's true, which you would. Yeah, give me another reason. Oh, do you have to fast if the Sefer Torah rips, but it never touched the ground? That's a good shot. I don't know the answer to that. Don't think you do. Okay, but give me another. Give me another answer. Give me another answer as to what you need to do, why you don't want it to rip across the cloth. Mochek, right? You could be doing erasing. You could be tearing letters. Give me another reason, a more basic kind of like practical reason with the actual.
It's much harder to fix.
Much harder to fix. It's much easier if it rips across the holes. It just comes to check. If it rips across the letters, it's going to be. I have to put patches in, rewrite across the patches. It could take weeks of work. But if all I have to do is stitch it, it's like overnight. So much better, it rips across the actual seam. But there's a deep reason. When you stitch a Sefer Torah, what do you stitch it with? Pear. I'm sorry, but I thought pear would be amazing. Don't know how you would do that. Wrap it really thin, freeze dry it. That would be a pear. No, I'm sorry, I missed that. Hair, that's right, hair. What hair? Or sinew. What, from where?
Ox.
Ox or calf. Tail. You could do it from the tail if you want, you get nice loads. What's going on with this calf? So you lift up a Sefer Torah, you have to roll it to the seam because Chos v'Shalom is split, but also you have to roll it there, so you should see some calf sinew, or calf hair. So I hold up the Torah, I see the Torah, and I see the calf. With me so far?
The Torah's skin anyway made out of
cows. That's true. The Torah's also written on a cow. That's true. That's also something you should see. But I'm specifically talking about Dafka, the hair and the sinew of the calf. Why? Because there is an amazing Mishnah Berurah. It's unbelievable. Whose phone is this? Your phone. It's very nicely looked after. It's very nice. Go look after. Okay. There's a beautiful Mishnah Berurah about these hairs. These hairs, and if you're going to pass it around, you can have a look at these hairs. There's a sprig of hairs. Halacha Moshe Masinai, you have to have a tattoo, you have to have a box, a bias, sitting on top of another square. So there's a cube sitting on top of a square. And the whole thing inside the parshas, and what are the, how the parshas roll? When you roll them, what else? They just stuff them in once they're rolled? How, when they're created inside, they have to write down on some cloth some parshas, then they roll them up. Is that it? Do they roll them up and finished and put them in? Or what do they do then? They tie it. What do they tie it with? Hair. Dafka, they tie it with calf hair. They stitch it with calf sinew. The stitching around hair is all calf sinew. But they tie it with hair. And some of the hair, the Mishnah Berurah explains on Simad Lamed Beis, and it's Sif Mem Dalet, and it's the Mishnah Berurah Reish Yud, that some of that hair has to protrude. They thread it through the holes that are drilled around the outside, and some of the hair that's around the parsha has to come out and protrude. I was just sharing an anecdotal story while I was in South Africa. My wife is South African now, went there quite a few times. After Shacharis, there was a busybody kind of guy that would go round, and he felt all the local scribes didn't know what they were doing, and he took pairs of scissors and went, oh, they've always missed this bit. And he went and trimming them to make it look neater. If you trim them flush, by the way, it's filler shell Rosh's possel. You have to get that cracked open and redone. Okay, so don't let a guy come over and he went round. I have these people that don't want to do it. It was unbelievable. He ran telling me he was cutting them with scissors after Shacharis. He meant well, right? But now, what does the Mishnah Berurah say in Reish Yud? That this hair should dafka be of an eagle. Why? So that you should remember the Maisa of the eagle and you won't sin in it anymore. V'gam k'dei l'chaper al avoin zeh. And even seeing it will atone for the sin of the golden calf. Just seeing that. Indeed, he carries on the Eliraba, brings the Eliraba and says, because of that, it's a good idea to make the entire tefillah, one tefillah, two tefillin, out of eagle leather, out of calf leather, if you can. But that's very difficult to do. There's not much calf leather about. It's very soft. It's harder to, you know, it's harder to like pack in tight.
The size, because you use the head. The size of the tefillin would be...
Well, you mean because they use the size of the cheek. The best leather is the cheek.
And
a calf is very small. You'd have to do it with multiple pieces. Today we're quite spoilt. We like to do it with one piece. You don't have to do that. You could do it with multiple pieces and glue them together, which is how they used to be made. A much cheaper way of doing it. But today, because of the pressures that they can use on the machines, you can take one piece and squidge it in, which is a tremendous hit of mitzvah. Now today, almost every set of tefillin that you get is one block. It's amazing. But it used to be like, you know, just maybe on our father's day, on our grandfather's day, you never saw such tefillin. They were always made of multiple layers glued together. There you could easily do it through multiple calves. It's a good question. Do you want to hear the question? Because there's not enough material in a calf to make...
We tend to use a cow.
We do use a cow, but it could be any kosher animal. But we dafka the Gemara is.
You should use a calf.
You should use a calf.
But
you could use any kosher animal.
Use cows.
You know. Your cows? That's right. Absolutely. Indeed, the halacha says that the hair that you should use should be from an eagle. But if you can't get it from a parah or a shaw, does that make sense? The whip. If an individual's been naughty, he gets whipped with a mixture, a tortilla, a wrap, a fajita of punishment. That's a great name for a shoe, maybe I should do that. The fajita of punishment. that's great, hey? I like that. It'll be the tortilla of retribution. And I'm rolling now, so I should stop. The tortilla of retribution, that sounds really good. I'm getting lost there. Getting lost time. Okay, we're on time. Are we on time? So if anything, he's going to be lent over. There's a Machlokas Rambam as to how...
Speak up, I'm going to marry next week.
you should get whipped before the Hasana. There's such an idea. I was lashed before my Hasana. I was there, but my best friend lashed me before the Hasana. There's such an idea. It's like Yom Kippur, it's such a day of high atonement. that very gently there's like a flagellation, that if chas v'shalom you need that kapara, that should be clear before the actual chuppah. Such an idea. Don't know why I'm telling you that. It's a bit strange. Just take a couple of breaths. Bend over. So the Mishnah said whether or not the whip went across the back like this, and then it wrapped around the torso, or whether it went across the shoulders and went down. So it's like how an individual's whipped. So it's a Mishnah in Makkos, and it's Chaftalad, second Mishnah on the page. It talks about that, how they actually whipped him. When they whipped him, the bits that hit him first were the what leather? What do you think it was if it was a sandwich? Calf leather hit him first, and the second bit to hit him was a donkey. Now, what's Hebrew for a donkey? Chamor. What does chamor mean? Physicality. And the calf is this problem that we've got. When someone sins, they usually sin with physicality, and it's because of the problem of the calf. What's going on? Let's put it all together. Are we ready to put it together? We've got all the questions. Let's talk about the Shavuos Haftarah. Hashem says like this, I'm going to give you the ultimate level of closeness. I'm going to give you my Torah. I'm going to show you my high malachim. And what did they do? They abused it. Yeah, that's great. Good, yeah, we'll pick up the phone. Yeah, well, you watch it. Okay, no, we don't speak to you now. The ultimate Jewish sin. It's like, you know, if a queen has a courtier that works in her palace, and then one day she's walking through the throne room, and he's like leaned up, across, spread out over one of the thrones, smoking a cigarette, reading the paper. She looks at him, what are you doing? So, I'm on break. What do you mean you're on break? That's the throne! That's my throne! Yeah, you know what? It's just a chair. Now, if some guy goes just in and does that, okay, so he doesn't know what he's doing. But a courtier who lives and works in the palace knows the chashivas of the queen's throne. It's not for him to, it's more of an avera the closer you are. Do you hear that? Because you were there, you know that's not what you're meant to do. Does that make sense? That's really rude. Hashem gives you this tremendous closeness, and then you start saying, I'll swear it all out. I know he doesn't do that, so you know what? The man's gone, I'll use the calf, that's very good. It's tremendously rude. When you have great closeness, there's a great responsibility that you have to keep up a bit of Derech Eretz more than someone that doesn't know about it. Very interesting point. Talmud Chacham is Gemara in Brachos. Mem Gimel is a Gemara in Brachos. Talmud Chacham shouldn't take long footsteps because, you know, taking long footsteps can damage one's eyes. Whatever that means, right? The Chidah HaKadosh quotes the Ben Yehoyada, quotes the Ben Ishchai saying, it's worse for a Talmud Chacham to damage his eyes because he needs his eyes to paskin shinus. People are going to bring him things and say, what do I do with this? Is this good or is this bad? And if he damages his eyes, he might get the law wrong. The more choshev an individual is, the more countable they are for the bad they do. The Klal Yisrael is the most choshev of people. And how could you, when you're so close to Hashem under the chuppah, bend the rules using my own tools against me? Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah. The ultimate symbol that we have of closeness between us and Hashem. Oh, I'm hush if I lift up the Torah. Don't sell Torah. I'm not a singer. We're all singing. And we see the Isis. You're meant to see that. These are the letters. This is from Moshe Rabbeinu. This is it. I've got it. It's mine. It's ours. The thing which gives us absolute preeminence across the world. See some calf hair. Don't forget what you did. Don't forget that you'll abuse that. Don't forget that it's possible that if you don't behave correctly with this, you'll ruin it. So you've got to roll the Sefer Torah over to see some calf. While you're lifting the Torah itself, see the ICS and see the calf in it. When you're wearing a crown in the morning, the shin and the dalid, by the way, the shin on the bais and the dalid in the kesher is the Hebrew word for breast, because we suckle spiritually from the tefillin every morning. When we plug into the tefillin, we're plugging in. Also the shin, so the word shoresh, which means roots, notice they're going up. Because our roots, our spiritual roots are up, they're ascending. And another thing, there's three-headed shin on this one and a four-headed shin on this one. That makes the seven branches of the menorah. And we don the menorah, in fact, all the Kli Mishkan, every element of the Mishkan is represented in the tefillin. This is also the Aron with the Torah inside. And these two straps which go down the body are considered the two staves which push out from the Aron. The Mizbeach is a tefillah shel yad. It's incredible. And there's also, unbelievable, it's also the wraps, by the way, it's like the umbilical cord. that we put on that externally. Women don't need to fill in because they can form this internally. We need to wrap that on externally. We have such a schus. This is the next most choshev thing next to Sefer Torah. What were you going to think? Wow, I'm so hot. I look around. Wow, everyone's got tefillin. Wow, it's amazing. Such a thing. We're so close to Hashem. What's the first thing you got to see? The calf. Because you can get a bit haughty and think, you know what? I got a kodesh baruch on my side. Whoa. Don't misuse that. See some hair. See some calf hair. Dafka. The very thing which gives you honor. Calm down a bit. Calm down a bit. The whip. When the guy's getting whipped, the whip itself teaches him. The whip itself is saying the calf. You're arrogantly misusing your position. You're a Jew, you're doing wrong. You've got to get hit by the calf itself. With the donkey, with the chamuris, with the physicality that you've sinned with. But the calf has to come back. It itself will chide you.